Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Keep going. It's a Monday, and we know Mondays suck, but they suck a whole lot less. We have two Monday Night Football games and a Game 7 in the ALCS when it comes to baseball. We, of course, have bets for all of them, plus some of the betting lessons we learned over the weekend and the NFL. And Jenks, let me start with this one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like over the course of my betting career, it is such a mental gymnastics game trying to look at some of these lines. And when you see something on the surface and you say, that line seems so obvious. Mm-hmm. Here's an example over the weekend. The Patriots laying 7 against the Titans. As somebody who watches the Titans on a regular basis, and sometimes I feel like I'm a little too critical of my own teams, and this is why I did not go on the best bets. But that line seems so obvious, and you know what? It was an obvious bet. So when I look at these Monday night games, I see both of these lines, and I kind of lean a direction. I'm like, why are the Bucks getting 6 points? And you think to yourself, okay, I don't fancy myself smarter than the books, so what am I missing here? Did you feel this way when you saw this line?
Yeah, I have no idea. And the money keeps coming in on the Lions, too. I don't know what I'm missing here, which makes me nervous. And I will say this, if you are convinced, if you can make a case for your side, which I feel like you can absolutely make a case for Tampa Bay, then it's okay to go against the money because sometimes that means you just get better value. But it is concerning, particularly when you're talking about how good Tampa Bay is, because you can make an argument this is the best team in the NFC. Some people think this is the best team in the National Football League, and they're getting 6 points. I don't know what I'm missing. Maybe the odds makers know something. Maybe they're hearing something. Whatever it is, it makes me nervous.
It just feels like you look at the injury report, and you're like, okay, well, Mike Evans is supposed to be coming back. That is
right.
A positive for the Bucs, who have been missing a ton of receivers. And then I feel like I've been trying to make the sabotage case for the Bucs for the past few weeks in a row, because I remember, I think it was the first game after the Eagles, it was against the Seahawks on the road, and I was saying to myself, okay, going from Tampa to Seattle is a long trip, and you just played the Eagles in a really physical game. Maybe this is the spot where Tampa Bay loses this one. But no, they win that one in a thriller, 38-35 on the road. And then you say, okay, back-to-back really enthralling but physical and challenging games. So you play the Eagles and lose, and then you play in this absolute shootout against Seattle in Seattle, and you're like, okay, maybe they lose their gas in this next one. They're laying 3.5 against the Niners, and they win that one 30-19. So it just, every time I find a sabotage factor, it's just I'm proven wrong. It seems very similar to what we're seeing with the Indianapolis Colts, where you say, okay, at some point they're going to run out of gas. At some point they're going to look bad and they're going to fall flat on their faces. But I think I've come to this conclusion is that teams like Tampa Bay and Indianapolis are just not teams that get a ton of credit. So I am willing to overlook some of these situational things and say, hey, maybe they're not getting credit in the market simply because they're a mid-market team, yeah, and they're not really viewed as one of those contenders. So I think I'm still on Tampa Bay getting six against the Lions tonight, even schematically. You know, you look at this Bucs run defense, they're one of the best in the league, and the Lions, I feel like, need to establish the run to get that offense and get all those trick plays, you know, able to be thrown in there. So it just feels like one of those games where I'm going to take the six.
Yeah, I am too, and the Lions are banged up in the secondary. Like, two of their starting corners are out. Tyrion Arnold is out. Avante Maddox is out. So while a lot of the focus will be on the Buccaneers and saying, okay, they don't have all of their full complement of weapons on offense, I get that, but also Baker Mayfield, at the level that he's playing, should be able to take advantage of that Lions secondary. And as we've seen, Baker is doing that thing which MVP quarterbacks do, which we saw Tom Brady do, which we've seen Josh Allen do, where it sort of just doesn't matter who's playing receiver. He's going to find a way to make it happen. And also, he can use his feet as well. So I know this number opened with the Lions laying 5.5. Now it's Lions minus 6. And Detroit is very dangerous on the turf. But man, this is just way too many points for me to not go with Tampa Bay. And again, I also think because of game script, when you mentioned that Tampa Bay run defense, I think we could see a lot of props hit if you're looking at the passing game. Maybe the over is a good play as well. This should be a really exciting game.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, okay, if I don't want to put my money on the Bucs plus 6, maybe just go with the over. Like, 52.5 is a pretty healthy total. But here's the thing. Like, we know Baker can absolutely sling it. I was also looking at his passing yardage prop. I think that's worth a look as well because he's had some really big passing totals. 256, 379, 289, and 233 are his last four games. And, you know, three of those coming in wins. So that's the thing, is that if you do believe in this line and you say, okay, maybe the Bucs are going to be playing from behind, he should have an even greater chance to eclipse his passing total, which is set at 240.5, especially now that Mike Evans is back in the fold. I do think Baker is going to be throwing the ball quite a bit. But I don't know. I cannot come to an conclusion, where the Lions are the play in this one. Maybe you could look at some anytime touchdowns, like Mike Evans at even money for an anytime touchdown. That feels like great value because we know that Baker Mayfield loves throwing in his direction when it comes to the red zone. And plus, when a total is 52.5, those are the games when you should be looking at props if you like playing overs.
Yes. This is going to be a great prop game, I think. I mean, look at the individual offensive talent and just think about game script. I mean, already when you see a total at 52.5, I mean, my God, doesn't that just scream like, hey, find some guys who are going to get the football and just bet on them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially even if you look at the Lions side of things, because I know I kind of touched on Baker Mayfield a bit, but when you have a Bucs defense that's so stout against the run, you look at the receivers for the Lions. And I understand, like, according to the game script, according to the odds makers, that the Lions will be playing from ahead. But still, the Lions are a team that, in my mind, even when they're ahead, it doesn't feel like they take their foot off the gas pedal. So I feel like that's not even a sabotage factor for me. The only thing is that sometimes Jared Goff can spread the ball around a little bit. So the line for Amon-Ra St. Brown is 78.5. Is somebody who has lost a lot of receiver bets by, like, somebody going for 70 or 68. That's a little high for me. But, I mean, you look at all these weapons. Like, that's the only sabotage factor for some of these, is that the Lions have so many weapons that sometimes, you know, because Jahmyr Gibbs is so good, he can take away some of, you know, the carries and the catches from some of the other guys. So I don't think I'm playing anything on the Lions' end, but you could certainly convince me to.
I really like Baker Mayfield's passing yardage total. Over 240 and a hook. I mean, he's hit this in three straight. If you look at the Lions' defense, they're ranked 14th against the pass, and they're without two of their starting corners. It just feels like a game where if you think the Buccaneers are going to be playing from behind, it sort of looks that way. You know Baker's going to go to the air, and I think he can get this number.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that I had mentioned, and it seems like that's not even game script dependent.
Right.
Because three of the four that, or I guess it would be two of the three, were in wins. You know, one of those was a game they went 30-19, 17 of 23 for 256 yards. So averaging 11.1 yards per throw. And that's the thing. Like, he's been getting the ball down the field. And I think because of his ability to scramble, you know, it opens up things down the field. We haven't mentioned his rushing prop. He hasn't been quite as formidable on the ground as last few. 14, 15, and 13 yards. I'm not sure what his rush prop is tonight, but it's not my favorite. I do think he's going to have to throw it a little bit more. But, Jenks, is there anything else in this game that you'll be betting on before we move on to the Texans and Seahawks?
I think that's probably the main one. And I would also say, can you bet on, I think you can find it, you might have to look around, like total yards for Baker Mayfield, because with the way that he's playing, if you can get maybe an all-purpose yards bet, you probably just search for that one. But that might not be a bad one either, because, you know, we saw that dramatic highlight last week where he rushes for that first down and he's shaking off hits and he's diving. Because of this game being in prime time, because it's the Lions, because of the way he's been willing this team to win, I feel like it could be one of those where if you get a better number or a number that's more suitable, you know, for what you're looking for, then a total yardage, you know, rushing and passing for Baker Mayfield might be worth a look anyway. I just think he's going to have a huge game.
His rushing prop is pretty high, or at least compared to the other weeks, 19 and a half. So the thing is, like, if he's rushing for like 15 or 14 yards, I think you just stick to the passing one. Like, don't try to get cute with it. Because obviously, if you do passing plus rushing, it's going to be a higher number. So I don't know. I just feel like there could be a game in which he only rushes for, you know, 14 yards or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's not my favorite of those, but I do like the passing one quite a bit. All right, so I kind of have the same theory on this next game. So Texans and Seahawks squaring off in Seattle. Seahawks land three, total of 41. So, Jenks, I see this game. I'm like, Seahawks are the much better team. I don't believe in the Texans. I do believe in Sam Darnold. And very similar to what we see with Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield, I still feel like this is a team and a quarterback where people do not want to give them credit. So, Jenks, are you laying the three with the Seahawks here?
Yeah, oh, man. I came into the show thinking small card, but I don't know. Where we talk about these bets. Yeah, I like the Seahawks laying three. And I think you're absolutely right. I feel like people just look at Seattle and they look at Sam Darnold. It's like that game against the Bucs a couple weeks ago where Seattle was taking on Tampa Bay, and that was a great football game. And Baker Mayfield was playing out of his mind. Sam Darnold was playing out of his mind. And then Sam Darnold has one interception at the end of the game where he throws it. It bounces off a defender's helmet. It's picked off. That ends the game. And people are like, oh, that's classic Sam Darnold. I'm like, dude, he completed like 80% of his passes. The Seahawks scored 35 points. Like, what else do you want? Like, this season, he has 11 touchdowns and three picks. He has been remarkable. It's time to just accept the fact that Sam Darnold is a really good NFL quarterback. He wasn't until he was. You can say the same thing about Baker Mayfield. This is a former number one overall pick who was tossed away to the garbage heap, was struggling in Carolina for a while, and now he's in the MVP discussion, just like Sam Darnold was in the MVP discussion last year. He is a good quarterback, and people just don't give him credit for that. I think this is a short number. The Seahawks are 4-2. This is a really good team, and I think the under is going to hit, too. I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game because the Texans are really good up front. But ultimately, I just don't know if the Texans have enough to keep up with Seattle offensively, so I'm going to lay the three with the Seahawks.
Yeah, the Texans don't want this turning into a track meet because those are not the games that they win. I know you see the box score for their last game, and they have had a couple weeks to prepare. Their last game on October 5th against the Ravens, they won 44-10, but like, come on, it's the Ravens. And it feels like the Ravens are just floundering right now. So it's a Texans team that I still have some question marks on. Because in most of these games, they're struggling to score 20 points. It's a team that has a really suspect offensive line. But the numbers say this, and I think some of these numbers are maybe skewed by playing some bad competition as well. So the Texans, according to the numbers, are really good against the pass. If you look at like fantasy numbers or whatever, they're allowing the second fewest passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, the second fewest receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. And I understand it does make sense with Derek Stingley Jr. on the secondary, But still, like some of these offenses they played, and the fact that they got the Rams the first game of the season, I just feel like that was like a tune-up game. Then they play the Jags, the Titans. They played the Bucs early in the season. The Bucs still put 20 on them. So I just have some question marks about the Texans. But at the end of the day, I just don't really trust their offense. And I do trust the Seahawks and that offense. I do think Jackson Smith and Jigba can have a big game in this one. So I think I'm leaning Seahawks here. I'm not a huge fan of the total because I do think I would lean towards the under here. But 41 is pretty low, especially for a Seahawks offense that I feel can score in a hurry.
Yeah, I think so as well. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that, and you did touch on this, is that the Texans are really good against the pass. But at the same time, when you talk about Kenneth Walker, I think that the Seahawks can be balanced enough to kind of throw the Texans off. And sometimes that's what you do, right? You hand it off and you create that balance on offense, which opens things up offensively, particularly in the passing game. And I think that's what's going to happen here. So the more I think about it, the more we talk about it. Yeah, I want to lay the three with Seattle.
Yeah, both these seem too obvious, though. Like, that's the only thing that scares me. Is it's like, when I first saw this, I was like, okay, Seahawks minus three. Okay, Bucks plus six. So we'll see. We'll see if our instincts are right, and we'll see if we play a big old card tonight in the NFL. All right, coming up next, time to switch gears to baseball. The two best words in sports. It is Game 7 in the ALCS. We give your bets for that next on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And listen, I understand Monday night means Monday Night Football, but in baseball, if you even like baseball a little bit, we have a Game 7 and an absolutely riveting series between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. And listen, both these franchises have been absolutely gunning for a shot at the World Series because it would mean history for both of these teams. The Mariners have never been to a World Series. And for the Blue Jays, they haven't been since 1993. And I was thinking to myself, Jenks, I was like, oh, that's probably like right when Vladdy Jr. was born. No, Vladdy Jr. was born in 1999.
Huh.
This makes me feel old. Like, I remember that song, We're Gonna Party Like It's 1999. So instead of that, I just now feel sad. But do we have that picture of cute Vladdy Jr. as a child? Maybe that'll make me feel better.
But it does feel like
the Blue Jays, like, it for a while it was like the legacy team because it was like Bo Bichette, it was Vladdy Jr. I feel like there was one more guy that maybe had a dad in the big leagues. But it was like the young prodigies. And now it's been a few years, and now it feels like they're finally getting to that level. So it just feels like, I don't want to say desperation, but it feels like both these fan bases are just clamoring for a shot at the World Series. And meanwhile, the Dodgers are just like kick backed and relaxed, you know, in a lounge chair saying, oh, you guys are still playing? Oh, we swept our series. We'll be waiting for you in the World Series. Good luck. We have a payroll of $321 million.
That's so cute that you guys are still playing. Oh. We're just sitting here counting our cash, waiting to crown ourselves as champions again. Yeah, the Dodgers look like a juggernaut. So I don't know what's going to happen in the World Series. Until then, I'm just going to enjoy tonight.
It's a good way to look at it. And listen, if you're a fan of the Mariners and the Blue Jays, it has been a great season. No matter how you slice it, obviously it will end in heartbreak for somebody. But we're not sure who. Because, Jenks, I will say from a handicapping standpoint, this has been a really difficult series to predict. In some of these games, we've played totals. And I will say both of the last two games have ended exactly in scores 6-2. So the total tonight is 7.5.
Yep.
But listen, this is a game 7. And one of those things in elimination games across the sports landscape is usually that these games tend to play closer to the vest, and they're lower scoring. But with both of these offenses, Jenks, like the Blue Jays offense is still averaging over 7 runs a game this postseason, which is wild. Then we've seen what the Mariners offense can do. So it's just one of those games where I feel like I don't have a great handle on it. If you look at the money line prices, Toronto short favorites in this one at -125. So the odds makers do believe in the Blue Jays here. They are playing this game at home. If you believe in the Mariners, +105 is the price. But Jenks, I don't think I'm picking a side in this one. Like, there is a reason the series went to 7 games.
Yeah.
And from a betting standpoint, I don't want coin flips. I want sure things, and nothing feels for sure in this game.
God, I don't know. I would lean towards the Blue Jays, I guess, just because I feel like the Jays have all the momentum. Their bats have come alive. And then all the pressure is going to be on the Mariners, I feel like. They're on the road. They're the only team which has never won a pennant. They've had a magical season. I feel like they are going to feel the screws tighten more than the Blue Jays. But I'm like you. I'd rather bet on a total. I like the over in this game with the way both of these sides can swing the bat. And I know, I understand, it's a game 7. They tend to be tight, but not with these two teams. I'm going over.
I think one of these offenses is going to score like 6 runs. Like, that's what we've seen, right? Like, sometimes I can't predict which side of the coin it's going to be, but I do think one of these teams are going to do the heavy lifting when it comes to a total. So let me ask you this. Have you investigated if we could get a 7? Because 7.5 is the listed total. Over 7 is -150. Is that where you're going?
Yep, but you can find it at -148. That's what I was looking at.
Pinch those 2 pennies.
Yeah, hey, whatever it takes. 2 pennies, 2 pennies. You save your pennies, then you end up with a nickel. I mean, I don't know. That's not a phrase. But yeah, I'm going to go over 7 minus 148. It is now. We just created it here on the show. Guess what? You save your pennies, you end up with a nickel. You save your nickels, you end up with a dime. Next thing you know, easy living and early retirement in Boca Raton.
I don't know. Right. Just as long as you're not spending all your money on avocado toast and coffees. I feel like that's the financial advice that I've been handed out for the last 5 years, like millennials in their coffee and avocado toast. But back to this game, like if you are looking at for some matchup advice here, the storyline from the starting pitcher standpoint is that George Kirby is going to have some demons to face in this one. Last time around, he's already pitched in this series. This is a rematch, I believe, of game 3, where George Kirby and the Mariners lost 13-4. Kirby gave up 8 earned runs and only 4 innings of work. And Shane Bieber was good in that one. So we've seen a bad game from Shane Bieber this postseason, but it wasn't in that game against the Mariners. So this is the pitching matchup that we get tonight. But Jenks, it's been tough because we have seen these roller coaster performances from some of these starting pitchers. Like even last night with Trey Yesavage going for the Blue Jays, coming off a really bad performance and then bouncing back in a big way for a big performance for the Blue Jays. So it's one of those things where you look at George Kirby and you say, okay, maybe that was an anomaly. And there has been games in which George Kirby has been very good. And even though he is a young guy, he has pitched, I think, in 3 elimination games thus far in his young career for the Mariners. So it's not like he hasn't been to this stage before. It just, for me, it's a matter of like which lineup just gets hot. So I don't really have a feeling in this one, but I will say this. If we're talking about totals, the real sabotage factor for an over is two pitchers who absolutely deal. Like, we don't need seven shutout innings from anybody. But I feel like that's not coming. Like, even when you see these guys who, you know, even Shane Bieber, who looked really good last start, once you start to see the same pitcher over and over again, I do feel like the advantage goes to the hitter. So I think Shane Bieber can be good in this one, but I think he can still give up a couple of runs.
Well, and you know what? The numbers bear that out. He's given up at least two runs in five straight appearances. So he can be, he'll be consistent, but he will get hit. And there are some pitchers who are just like that, right? He's not going to pitch 5 2/3, six shutout innings. That's just not what he does. And he won't go past six innings in this game. But also that's important to remember, because if he's going to get hit, and if George Kirby's going to get hit, which I think is going to happen, then that lends itself to betting an over. So if you want to bet it at 7.5 and not lay the juice, I totally get that. I think that's a perfect play. Just the way this series has gone, and if you look at these starting pitchers, it's harder for me to make a case for the under outside of, hey, it's a game seven.
Well, and even if you think, hey, that these guys are going to have really short leashes, like, you're threatening me with Luis Castillo, who gave up like three runs and 2 1/3 last time out. Oh, and Bryce Miller, who did do well on Friday, one run over 4+. But still, like, you're not threatening me with Tarik Skubal, you know? So it just feels like these guys can certainly come in and give up some runs as well. So it's one of those games where, again, I feel like runs are the way to go. I will say, from a hitter standpoint, maybe some hitters to single out. We know George Springer has been like Mr. October. Like, he's tied with Bernie Williams for like the most career postseason home runs. I think he's like in the top five list. Would not shock me if he has a big game in this one. I would imagine his hits plus runs plus RBI is going to be 1.5. I think that is a solid play, especially for somebody who's leading off. He's usually in the leadoff spot, so he can score some runs in this game. If you think it's the Blue Jays side of the coin that's going to score some runs. Or, you know, what a storybook ending we'd have for the Mariners if we have a big game from Cal Raleigh, you know? And he's been good this postseason. Like, in the regular season, it was all about the home runs for him. But during the course of the postseason, you know, the hits have been there as well. So, you know, if you want to play props, I think those are two guys to certainly consider.
Yeah. And Raleigh was not great last night. I think he had 3 strikeouts in the game. So, not that I'm pressing for the do theory, but as we've seen throughout the entire postseason, these big-name stars, after a bad performance or after a couple games of struggling, tend to ball out, which is another reason why I like the over here. I'm really big on the over, and I'm really curious to see how the Mariners handle this pressure. Like, I think it's a real thing, because if you're Toronto, you've been in this spot before. Historically, I think Seattle, I think they know and they feel the pressure of history. And certainly, it's just one game. I mean, it's a long series, but when you're talking about Seattle, you're talking about a franchise that has never been in this spot. They know it. We know it. The Blue Jays know it. And last night, remember, they had 3 errors in that game.
Yeah.
Twice they had the bases loaded, and twice they grounded into inning-ending double plays. So I wonder if that pressure was a factor last night. Maybe it wasn't, but certainly 3 errors in a game 6 doesn't bode well for game 7, which is why, again, I'm kind of leaning Blue Jays here. But there's no question a guy like Cal Raleigh could step up. I just hope we see a great game 7. I'm excited about the game, but again, I don't feel comfortable with a side here. I'm just going to bet on the over.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. It's funny that you mentioned the errors, because sometimes, like, that's the way that you see the pressure unfold. But it does feel like kind of an anomaly, because I was looking at, like, the past 2 games before that, and the Mariners didn't have any errors. So maybe it's one of those one-off games where it was just, you know, a sloppy game, and maybe they'll tighten things up. But again, like, in betting, when I don't feel great about either side, that means I shouldn't be betting on it. So I'm probably not going to pick a side, but I do think it's going to be very, very entertaining. And we will just hope for runs, because wouldn't that be more entertaining anyways? Mm-hmm. So we will go with the over in that game. All right, so over the weekend, the big story in Kansas City is that the Chiefs look like they may have returned to the mountaintop. Maybe not the Super Bowl winners, but it looks like their offense has finally found its stride with an absolute beatdown over the Raiders, 31-0. So Kansas City covers as 12.5-point favorites. Patrick Mahomes looks very much like the MVP and the face of the league in this game. 26 of 35 with 286 yards and 3 touchdowns. And welcome back to Rashee Rice. 7 catches, 2 touchdowns in this game, but only goes for 42 yards. I needed him over his receiving prop, but still a big game from Rashee Rice. So, Jenks, should everybody be scared and running for their lives when it comes to playing the Chiefs once again in the postseason?
God. Yes, they're good again. Here they are. They're back. They're back. I have Chiefs fatigue.
I feel like we need to pipe in that Ophelia song.
Oh, no.
Like, have you heard that one?
The Fate of Ophelia, yes. Only about a billion times
so
already.
So upbeat.
I've seen it. Oh, it's a banger. I've seen the video numerous times. I've heard the song. It's a good song, actually. I have it. I like the song.
Yeah.
I do. Do I want to hear it now? No. Do I want to hear it during Chiefs highlights? No, I don't. Mm. But it's like the whole, oh, Chiefs, I hate you. I hate you. But I respect you. Oh, I respect you. I love Andy Reid, though. Kelce looks good. He's leading the team in receiving this year. Rashee Rice, I mean, don't you know they were just waiting for this moment? They look like a team that were tired of being told that they were dead, that their dynasty was over. Like, they're tired of hearing it, and now they're like, all right, mm-hmm. We're at full strength. We're still Kansas City. Go ahead, keep throwing dirt on our grave because we're not done yet. That's what they look like. So you don't have to like Kansas City. I'm not a Chiefs backer, but you know what they've done for this long, especially with the litany of receivers that have just rotated through that franchise, is so impressive, and you can't deny how they've looked over the past couple weeks. I understand the Raiders stink, but also this was an all-encompassing dominant performance, and all you can do is play the games on your schedule. They dominated Vegas. Chiefs look like they're completely back, and that's why they're the Super Bowl favorites right now.
Yeah, they're no longer, you know, in danger of suffering the fate of Ophelia, where they go mad down
Chelsea,
by the river.
Shoot me in the face. Shoot me in the face.
I had to look that up. Just to see what, like, the, what is it? It's from Shakespeare, right? I think mm-hmm. it's Hamlet, maybe? I don't know. I looked it up a while back ago. But anyways, back to the Chiefs. I feel like they have that, like, innate respect where if they even show, like, flashes of greatness, like, they're immediately, like, catapulted into the discussion because they have the rings to prove it, right? So I think they're one of those teams that as long as they get into the postseason, they're certainly going to be a threat. And I think we've said that all season long. Mm-hmm. It's just now it feels like that fear is realized. And now the offense is catching up to the defense. Because I've said this all season long. The defense has looked very, very good. And I understand in that Jags game, everybody thought Trevor Lawrence was down because he was face down on the ground. So, like, Chris Jones, you know, stopped the play and didn't even try. And then they lose that game because, you know, nobody covered Trevor Lawrence once he got back on his feet. But still, this is a great defense with a championship pedigree, and the same goes for the offense. And now that they have Rashee Rice back, like, obviously we've talked about the AFC and the Bills look like they have some flaws as well. The fact that their defense cannot stop the run. The Ravens look dead in their tracks. The Bengals, they don't have the Chiefs killer, at least. And Joe
That's
Burrow.
True.
Joe Flacco is not terrible.
Chiefs killer.
but still, it's Joe Burrow.
No, like, I know. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. So, yes, once again, the Chiefs look like they could be headed back to the Super Bowl. Ho-hum. All right, we got to get to break. Up next, we'll recap some of the games over the weekend and what betting lessons we learned. That's next on Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, so it's not a Monday in Sports Talk Radio if we don't give some big overreactions. It's an overreaction Monday, folks, here on the Daily Tip. So we had some massive upsets in college football over the weekend, and we will get to those. But my big overreaction was the weekend is that I could not believe how likable James Franklin was on College Game Day. And I was just saying this to Denton. So Denton, I think you have a different spin on this. So what was your takeaway watching James Franklin on College Game Day?
It felt a little too over the top for me. It felt a little
really?
Too performative. The mm-hmm. victim mentality was too much. I didn't think they should have fired him when they did, but I thought he was doing way too much, talking about how this was an injustice. I thought, like, Saban didn't play into it very well either. I watched that entire thing, and I was like, this can't be actually happening right now. It was just great by Jimmy Sexton, the agent, who was there, by the way, to get his guy paid, to get Lane Kiffin paid, to get Kirby Smart paid. I don't think that was a coincidence. I didn't love it.
Not loving it. All right, Jenks. So did you see James Franklin on game day?
Because
I had a different reaction to this.
I mean, I think this is one of those classic both things can be true. Like it was, I think, here's the thing. It was definitely a little self-indulgent, right? Because this guy wants to coach again. And there's going to be, I think, a lot of interesting jobs open, including, obviously, the Florida one. But I think the reason why it comes off okay is that James Franklin is very likable. That's one of the mm-hmm. reasons why he's such a good recruiter, right? That's one of the reasons why that his players love him is because people really like James Franklin. Like, he kind of has, I don't say aura, maybe that's too strong, but he has a presence where you kind of enjoy listening to him. You kind of want to be around him, and that means a lot of guys want to play for him. But there's always something kind of going on here that immediately after being fired, he appears. That's not a coincidence. So he's definitely angling for a new job. He said as much, but also I understand the draw to him if you're a player or a potential recruit, and he's always been a great recruiter, not just at Penn State.
Yeah, he almost has like a sales personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know these people when you talk to them, are like, that person definitely works in sales.
Yep.
And recruiting obviously is, you know, a spinoff of sales because you are selling your program to recruits. But it did kind of shock me that he was on College Game Day so soon. Like, yeah. I guess this is him angling for a job. And I guess when it sounds like he shares an agent with Nick Saban, because Nick Saban gave like an impassioned argument like for James Franklin to the point where like, whoa, you know, at least go on a date first. Because, you know, Nick Saban went on this rant where he was like, they're just so, you know, ungrateful, and you had all these huge wins and you took a program that was down in the dumps, which he is right. You know, mm-hmm. James Franklin came into Penn State when it was not at a good state after all those scandals and sanctions, and it turned it into a team that did earn a number one preseason ranking.
Sure.
And Nick Saban stayed on that for a second. Jenks, do you think that is something to hang your hat on?
No.
Earning a preseason number one ranking? Like, that kind of, I was like, all right.
It means nothing. Being ranked number one in the preseason means nothing. Being predicted, these guys were predicted to win the national title. Like, so? Means nothing. Okay.
Hanging in the rafters.
Awesome. Yeah, hanging in the rafters. Preseason number one. Yeah, it was a great preseason. We didn't even play a game. I mean, it means absolutely nothing. It just means, hey, some experts or some coaches decided that you guys had the talent on paper to win. To me, it just points out that you didn't meet expectations. And also, there's that whole argument, which I think is a fair one, that we shouldn't have these preseason rankings until 5-6 weeks in the season, because you really don't know who teams are, particularly now with the portal, until we get to that point, right? A lot of this is prognosticating and projecting and based on previous seasons, and predicting that now with all of the new talent and all of the turnover is harder than ever to do. So, no, being a preseason number one is not something you say, oh, let's put this on the resume. It means nothing.
Right. Like, he lost me there. And it especially feels like unfair to the schools who are not the Blue Bloods, because it's like these schools who are Blue Bloods just come into the season. It's like they are, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Like, they have to lose games to fall in the standings. Meanwhile, teams like Indiana had to, like, scratch and claw for everything, and they have to prove that they belong in the same tier of these teams simply because of preseason rankings. So I don't love the preseason number one poll or all of that as well. I think it's kind of unfair. Like, the big guys need any other help, you know, in college football. It already feels like it's kind of a tilted field towards some of these big-time schools. So, as I mentioned, there were some big upsets over the weekend. I was watching this game, and I have never seen so many people fail to learn a lesson that we talk about all the time on the show. Do not victory lap a win until the game is over. So, Jenks, Ole Miss was getting 7.5 points on the road to Georgia. Ole Miss was winning almost the entire game. And then what do you know? Georgia, in the fourth quarter, scores 17 points, and they win this game by 8 points. There are a lot of very disgusted bettors out there.
Yeah, it was disgusting. When I saw this, I was like, man, Vegas again, you dirty dogs, dirty dogging it. Yeah, the whole time I was like, I should have taken Ole Miss. I should have taken Ole Miss. I should have taken Ole Miss. I'm like, ooh, glad I didn't take Ole Miss. But great performance by Georgia. I mean, it was a really gutsy performance by Georgia down the stretch, where I did not anticipate that high, that much of a high-scoring game, but Gunnar Stockton was really good down the stretch. And, man, that was a tough beat if you were on Ole Miss, because you had to think the entire time you had it.
Absolutely. And it feels to me like Georgia is never out of it. Like, they kind of have that mentality this year that they're a very resilient team. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when you have a good head coach, you're going to make adjustments down the stretch. And that's exactly what Kirby Smart did. So Ole Miss could not stop the run in the second half. Gunnar Stockton made the throws that he needed to. And sometimes, like, that's what the difference is when you are on that upper echelon already, and the difference between, you know, a good team that's really talented, like Ole Miss came into this game, one of the best offenses in the country, averaging over 500 yards a game. But when your defense can't stop the run in the fourth quarter, that is a problem for old Lane Kiffin and company. All right, so other upsets over the weekend. I guess this is an upset, but Vanderbilt was favored. So Vandy won 31-24 over LSU. I think this was Vandy's first win over LSU since like 1990. What a game from Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
I feel like Booger McFarland said this, and he's one of those people that I feel like when he says it, it means it's very obvious. Like, he's in the same category to me as Magic Johnson, where he's like, Diego Pavia deserved to be in the conversation for the Heisman. So, Jenks, do you agree with Booger here?
Don't ever ask me that question. Do you agree with Booger?
His fingers are all like this.
I know. It's like, I'll tell you something about Diego Pavia. Listen to me. It's like,
It's gross fingers.
Oh, man. Those linemen, man. You look at their fingers and they're all just kind of jacked up. Don't know how they do it. I don't know. I don't think he belongs in the Heisman conversation. I think he's just a guy who is obviously one of the better quarterbacks in college football, and he's easy to get behind. Like, if you're a football player, I don't know how you don't appreciate the way he plays the game. Like, he just does not quit. And I watched that whole game because I was on Vandy minus 2.5, and I was kind of sweating that for a while. But then that Vandy offensive line is really good. And there were a couple plays when even when the LSU defense got to Diego Pavia, they couldn't get to him because he's swirling around in the pocket. He's making a fourth down play. He's finding a guy that's open. He's taking off. He really is a blast to watch, and he's a consummate football player. And also, I need to double check this. I think he's applying to play one more year and could play. I need to double check that, but I think I read where there's a possibility he could come back again for his 14th season.
His 14th season. Yeah. Like, I almost didn't check that. I was like, you're right, 14 seasons.
That's it just what it sounds said. Right. It's like, yeah.
I do think that he deserves to maybe be in the discussion, but I think for me, the stinker of a game he had against Alabama, that kind of takes it out for me. Like, for me, the Heisman race is like a game of Survivor. It's like there's all these guys, and then one by one, you know, the tribe is spoken and the flame is extinguished. So that was felt like the case for Carson Beck over the weekend.
Woof.
Four picks as number two Miami loses to Louisville 24-21. We were all kind of waiting for this. And we're like, all right, Carson Beck's been really good this year. Mm-hmm. Where is the Carson Beck that's been, you know, journeying around college football that has been the worst in the big moments? And here he is.
Yeah, welcome back. I mean, this guy was a Heisman Trophy favorite, I believe, going into this game. If you think about it, or at least right up there with Dante Moore. But man, that wasn't that the one handicap that we all said going into the season? Like, yeah, but when will Carson Beck become Carson Beck? Yeah.
Carson Beck.
Carson Beck. Carson Beck. That's exactly what happened. I mean, four picks and then that one late. Oh, that's just an absolute crusher. Like, the two things that were real issues, even when they weren't issues until they were, which was, hey, is Mario Cristobal going to make some sort of decision here that's going to punish this team late, like a decision where you're left scratching your head? Or is Carson Beck going to have one of those games where he just kind of loses his mind and throws a bunch of picks? And that is what happened.
Yeah, and both things happened, you know, so it was just like a bad game all around from Miami, who looked, you know, to be one of the best teams in college football. And I don't think that, like, I'm completely off on Miami. Like, Carson Beck is fully capable of, you know, coming back from this. But as far as the Heisman race goes, like, you can't throw four picks and still be in the discussion, at least in my opinion. So I think that candidacy is pretty much dead. I didn't see this game, but I was surprised when I saw the result. Texas Tech lost to Arizona State. Metric darlings, 26-22. You mentioned this in the handicap, wondering about Sam Levitt, and here he was in this game. Big win for the Sun Devils.
They looked like they were going to dominate this game, and they did dominate this game for most of, you know, 3.5 quarters, and then Texas Tech behind Will Hammond just has this storm late where they pull ahead. But, man, they left too much time in the clock. Sam Levitt said, and we had a little more than 2 minutes. We were panicking, like, we got this, and he drove them right down the field, which you normally don't see against Texas Tech, but Levitt was awesome.
Yeah, this is a big win for Arizona State because Texas Tech has one of the best offensive and defensive lines in the country. So ASU, good win over the weekend. All right, coming up next, hour three, we'll kick off with our best lessons learned from last night's Sunday Night Football matchup, and we'll get into some baseball as well next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.